إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين إمامنا وقدوتنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى الآل وصحب الكرام. أما بعد، اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن دعاء إلا يسمع. ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ثم أما بعد، respected elders and brothers in Islam, those listening at home, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost for the opportunity to be with you all this evening, and would like to start off by saying thank you to Masjid Umar for hosting myself and to Mawlana Sindhi for making the necessary arrangements. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering by which whatever said is of benefit to us, and a gathering by which when we depart it is a gathering that is forgiven. Indeed, we live our lives for so many years, a restricted number of years, and we all want to be from amongst those that on the day of Qiyamah we find that the mistakes which we may have done, the parts that we may have found ourselves erring in our lives, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us. So may Allah make this a gathering that is forgiven, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in Jannah in the same way He has gathered us here in this masjid today. Today we witness the day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, it is a day of great auspiciousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this day to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us 2 days in the year which we experience great happiness, we are excited, we dress up, and we greet one another and make dua for one another with a lot of happiness. We all know this is the day of Eid that we experience after Ramadan, a month which is not so far away, and the day of Eid which we experience during the time of Hajj. In the same way that Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, Al-Wahidul Qahhar, has granted us 2 days in the yearly Muslim calendar whereby we celebrate, Allah has granted us a weekly day of Eid, the day of Jumu'ah, which is the day of Eid a Muslim has in his or her week, whereby we also celebrate. It is a great day, a day which, or should I say, no better day does the sun rise upon. In a hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمُ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا وَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ إِلَّا فِي يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ. That the best day upon which the sun rises is the day of Jumu'ah, like today. On this day, Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And on this day, Allah entered him into Jannah. And on this day, Allah removed him from Jannah. Subhana rabbiyal a'la. And the coming of the hour, the day of judgment, will not happen except on the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a day which He has also accepted from us. Also, as a point of benefit, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that just before the sun sets, or after the time of Salatul Asr, the dua that a mu'min, a believer, a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes on this day, between that period, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never lets it go unanswered. So we should make sure that we make ourselves from amongst those that take full cognizance of the importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us in this time that we find on the day of Jumu'ah, just before the sun sets. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as that we did make before the sun set, and may He make us from amongst those who continuously make du'a on this day and every other day. Ameen. Now, respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters at home, we all know that we live in a world that is not full of happiness. And at the same time, this world is not a place that is full of sadness. Because the place that is full of sadness is Jahannam. And the place that is full of happiness is Jannah. We are in the dunya. We have some happiness and we have some depression, some anxieties, some trials and tribulations. We find ourselves without doubt in this day and age going through a time span whereby if we switch on the television and listen to the news, we find ourselves hearing information that may affect the happiness aspect of our brain and lives. We find ourselves in a situation whereby we might be having problems at home in regards to our children. We might be having problems at home in regards to the results that they're bringing home from school. It might be a problem between husband and wife. There's several factors that we find ourselves within and amongst that is causing depression to our hearts. And this is a simple fact. It's not only in the UK, in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, in Malawi. Throughout the different travels, you can't help but find individuals who are facing this type of problem. Now, what we need to understand also is that not one of us sitting here, and all of you would agree with me, we're not from amongst those who live our lives actually looking for depression. Nobody stands up and says, I've spent 40 years of my life trying to be sad. And that's a fact. We're all looking for good material well-being, good financial standing, good morality at home, in our businesses, with our friends, with our peers, with our colleagues, whatever it may be. We're always looking for that which contributes to the happiness aspect that we need and should have in our lives. The problem, respected elders and brothers, and my dear mothers and sisters at home, if I may say so, is a problem, is that we might have found ourselves actually choosing the wrong avenue in looking for this happiness. So we find, if we look at the Quran, and the Quran speaks about different people, and if we look at the communities that we live in today, we find a group of people that thought that their happiness would be in good financial standing and material well-being. And that's no secret to us. So they found themselves slaving away, living a monotonous life, trying to attain this wealth, not understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon them a certain qadr, a certain amount that they will live to use, and they will not get 1 cent more than that qadr. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَن تَمُوتَ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the soul will not taste death unless and until that soul eats the last morsel that Allah has prescribed for it. Unless and until you eat that last grain of rice that you were supposed to eat, Allah will not take you away from this world. Why? Because it's in your qadr. And once you're done with it, there's no more reason for you to live. Your qadr, your sustenance has depleted. And even if you lived, you wouldn't have sustenance to eat. So we failed to give cognizance and recognition to that fact, and we found ourselves slaving away. And when we acquired this financial standing and material well-being, a sudden reality came upon us and made us understand that indeed we're still unhappy. Another group of people thought that happiness would be in their children. So they made so much amal on them in a manner which was contradictory to that which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. Why? Because we wanted them to attain certain status that would be our pleasure. And we found that when they reached those statuses, we still found ourselves unhappy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings reference in the Quran to this. He says, فَلَا تُعْجِبُكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ Allah, your creator, my creator, in his book, makes clear to us the reality of these groups of people. He says, don't let their wealth nor their children amaze you. Don't let it worry you. Don't lose sleep over the fact that your neighbor might have so much and I may not have. And in reality, some of us might admit that the wealth which we actually attained was not happiness for us, it might have been an adab. Is that correct or not? In Riyadh, my teacher was once saying that they were looking to build a masjid. And they went to this wealthy person to try and get a donation for the masjid. And after talking and speaking with him for a long time, he signed a check. That's what they do, sign checks. It was an okay amount. But upon leaving, this person called this lecturer of mine back. And he told him that I need some advice from you. So he said, no problem. What is your, you know, what's your problem? What advice can I offer you? He says, you know what? I have wealth in the air, on water, underneath the ground, on the ground, meaning he owns aeroplanes, ships, oil, subhanallah, you name it, he's got it. But he says through his own admission that the more that he has, the less sleep that he has. The more that he has, the more headaches he has. So he was looking for advice. Subhanallah. So was this wealth happiness or was it punishment? It was punishment. So anyway, this lecturer, just to complete the story, told him, he said, عَلِّكْ مَا لَكَ بِرَبِّكْ, that tie your wealth with your Rabb, with your Creator, so that you tie the thing which you love with the one that you should be loving. Subhanallah. Brilliant advice. And after hearing that story, it reminded me of a trip that I made to Malawi the once, a couple of years ago. I was taken to the Mangochi area, which is where the African tribes or a predominant Muslim tribe live along that that lake. I think it's the Nyawa tribe, if I'm not mistaken. And to my amazement, I saw an African man with a little hut in the hot Malawi sun, in the middle of summer, in mosquito-infected waters, lying outside his hut in the deepest of sleeps. Subhanallah. So one man has so much dunya and he's losing sleep. And one man has nothing and he's in the most deepest of sleep. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. This is a practical lesson which we can take from this. So wealth, respected elders and brothers, didn't do justice to happiness in its complexity and completeness. It just did justice to a portion of happiness. And the same thing with children, and the same thing with our wives. They only comply to a portion of happiness. But to us being happy in totality, we find that we're still lacking. If material well-being and financial standing was the prerequisite and foundation of happiness, let us look at the one person who had the most complete form of happiness, which was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He lived a life whereby if he made salah in his room, Aisha radiallahu anha would have to lift her feet so he could make sujood. There wasn't enough room. How spacious are our homes today? He lived a life whereby months would pass and a fire wasn't lit in the house of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today in our homes, not one fire is lit, but fires are lit. Is that not correct? And in Africa, there's a common thing because they have space in their homes. They don't have one kitchen, they have two kitchens. One kitchen to look at and the other one to cook in. Alhamdulillah. Yeah? But what did all those kitchens do? Did it bring them happiness? It brought them punishment. Why? We found them with obesity problems, and we found them with diabetic problems, and we found them with high blood pressure. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So was food happiness or punishment? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his protection. So now the question comes is, what is happiness? What is happiness? And we all know, as I said at the beginning, we're all looking for happiness. Before I enter the talk in a bit of detail and bring to you some points which I cropped up in my mind on the way from Blackman to Leicester this afternoon, I want to bring you to two ayat of the Quran. Subhanallah. Allah is your creator and my creator. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Allah says regarding anxiety, depression, trials, tribulations, sorrow, lack of sleep, all that which we're facing. He says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, the one who leaves my remembrance, who leaves the Quran, who leaves its teachings, who leaves salah, who leaves fasting, who leaves that which Allah prescribed, then for him is a life of depression. Listen to it. An apt ayah to suit the situation we are living in. We always tell our children, if you study, you will pass. And if you fail, you didn't study. It's simple mathematics. Allah is saying, leave my remembrance and live in depression. And it doesn't end there. He will be raised on the day of Qiyamah blind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Amen. So now this individual finds himself in a situation whereby himself or herself is blind on the day of Qiyamah. But they used to be from amongst those who could see during their lifetime in this world. So they will question Allah. They will say, قَالَ رَبِّ لِمَ حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا. Ya Allah, how come you have raised me blind, but I used to be from amongst those who could see? What will Allah say? قَالَ كَذَلِكَ أَتَتْكَ آيَاتُنَا فَنَسِيتَهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ تُنْسَى. Allah will say, in the same way our messengers came to you, our ayat came to you, our signs came to you, the Quran came to you, you heard lecture upon lecture in your local masjid, and everything went in one ear and came out through the next, the same way you turned a blind eye to our signs, you will be forgotten today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. A clear ayah. Now let me bring you to the contrary, the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about a happy life. About a happy life. The life we are looking for. He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. La ilaha illallah. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Whoever does good deeds. Whoever does good deeds from both male and female, and they speak about inequality in Islam. Here Allah says, min dhakarin aw untha, from male and female, wa huwa mu'min, that is the condition, iman, falanuhyiyannahu hayatan tayyiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will give that person a happy life, a new life, a life of resilience, a life of happiness, a life whereby we're not just existing on the face of this earth like we find ourselves today. We need to ask ourselves, are we living or are we existing? There's a difference. Some of us are just on the face of this earth, moving as the earth moves, waiting for death to overcome us. We wake up in the morning and we go to the same work and we come back in the same way and we sit down in the same manner and we watch the same silly TV programs and we do the same silly life every day and every day. It's a monotonous routine like we are a robot on a mechanical program. Windows maybe 2020, Allah knows best. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do good deeds. And this is a point of interest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a believer yataqallabu fil umur. Minal umur, that a believer changes from condition to condition. They're never stagnant. And that's why when you look at a child is on fitrah. A child is on fitrah. They live their life as natural as can be. And you find them continuously changing. One minute they're crying, the next minute they're hungry, the next minute they're sleeping, the next minute they're upset, the next minute you go to sleep, they wake up, they don't carry on the same routine. Why? They're upon fitrah. So Allah says in this ayah, you do good deeds, then Allah will give you this new life. And it doesn't end there. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَاهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says that on the day of Qiyamah, we will give them a reward which is even better than the work that they used to do. Which is Jannah. Respected elders and brothers, Allah has created for us Jannah. We are chasing after a temporary gain. Wallahi, this is something we have to understand. And this temporary gain is causing depression in our lives. We are neglecting our children. They are growing up misguided. Why? Because of this dunya we are chasing. We haven't managed to strike a balance between the secular life that we have to live. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your objectives of this dunya. We're not saying sit in the masjid the whole day. We're saying go out and earn also. But strike a balance between the two. Don't be from amongst those who are chasing after the dunya and stressing yourselves. But Allah who's giving you, you're negligent of Him. And that's ironic. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. What has put you in a deception of Allah, who is Kareem, generous. He created you. He shaped you. He's given us everything. And we are in deception about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana rabbiyal a'la. How ironic is it? And yet we all claim to be from amongst those who are intelligent. Nobody wants to be called a dumb person, obviously. And if someone was told that he's a dumb person, he probably would put his fist up and defend himself. Right or wrong? But in reality, we are living our lives in a manner which is ignorant, subhanallah. And then we question why we are suffering difficulties. Respected elders and brothers, my dear mothers and sisters at home, coming over from Blackman to Leicester, I thought to myself that if mankind understood two things, it would probably be the answer to all their problems. Two questions. The first question is, who are you? And the second question is, why were you created? Understand these two things and the problems are over. So let me try and help you towards understanding who we are. If we do al-istiqra wa al-tatabbu', that's what the ulama do with the Quran and the Sunnah. They go through it and they derive lessons. We find in the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us that we as mankind, we are five things. And I even dropped it down on a paper. We as mankind are five things. Think of it. We are a body, a nafs, a soul, a mind, and a heart. Five things. A body, a nafs, a soul, a mind, and a heart. Let us go through these five things together this evening. We are first a body. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your outside appearance basically. Allah created us in a manner which He decided and decreed. We didn't have any involvement in our creation. And if we look at the Quran and the Sunnah, we don't find praise or insult to the body that we have. Allah says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. That Allah has shaped you and created you in the wombs of your mother as He wished. So there's nothing for us to insult and praise this body. In fact, if we look in the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ what? أَجْسَامُهُمْ. Subhanallah. That when you see those munafiqs, what amazes you of them? Their bodies. And we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying about this body, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look towards your outside appearance and your body, but He looks at your heart and your deeds. Subhanallah. So, something clear for us to understand that if we thought we were something, we are nothing. And if we look at other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're even greater than the bodies that we have. Look at the elephant, look at the sky, look at the mountains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. So in reality, with our bodies we are still nothing. And we leave it at that. The next point is a nafs. And the nafs, wallahi, is something very interesting. Think about it. The nafs is actually the tool of test for the son of Adam. Why? Because the nafs is a faculty that is inclined towards evil. Everything that Allah said is haram, it's inclined towards. Everything that Allah said you must do, it wants to stay away from. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ صِغَةٌ مُبَالَغَةٌ. The nafs is inclined towards evil, not in a normal manner, in a very abnormal manner. Its whole system is inclined towards evil. So music is haram, we find ourselves inclined towards it. Watching television, bad programs on television is not allowed, we are inclined towards it. Salah, which could be 5 minutes of our time, is difficult. But watching a football match, which is 90 minutes, is extremely easy. Isn't it? Subhanallah. So salah, 5 minutes probably. A football match, 90 minutes, but we're so capable of passing 90 minutes without even looking at the time. But in the masjid, we'll be eyeing out a clock if it's somewhere nearby. That's why in some masjid, I say always leave the clocks at the back. Because it's true, in some masjids, if you go 1 minute over the time, the people start making a big noise about it. It's their appointment with Allah and it's too hard for them. And if the imam went 1 minute over, it's a disaster to their daily life. In fact, it's the cause of depression for that day. The imam went 1 minute over. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. What has put you in a deception of Allah, who is giving you all that is given? Yeah? So, this is the nafs. But what we got to understand, respected elders and brothers, is that the nafs can be fixed, Allah talks about Nafsul Lawwamah in his book. Nafsul Lawwamah in Surah Al-Qiyamah. He says,
La uqsimu biyawmi al-qiyamah wa la uqsimu bin nafsil lawwamah.
Subhanallah. Allah takes a qasam by the self-reproaching nafs. The nafs which, when haram comes in front of it, it reproaches itself. It says no. Music, no. TV, no. Haram programs, no. Salah, yes. It reproaches itself. So by the self-reproaching, it converts itself from a nafs ammaratun bisu to a nafs al-mutmainna, which Allah also says in the last juz. Allah calls out to the nafs al-mutmainna at the time of death. And he says,
Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutmainna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah.
Subhanallah. I'm not speaking things from my pocket here. This is from your book and my book which Allah has given us. Your manual and my manual. Just like when you buy a new car, you make sure that you follow the instruction manual. If it says you've got to warm up the car 5 minutes in the morning before going, nobody will warm it up for 10 minutes before going. Because it's dunya. Allah has given us a constitution and an instruction manual. Subhanallah. Which we should be using and abiding by. This is in the Quran. So you self-reproach your nafs and you change it from a nafs which is ammaratun bisu, that which is inclined towards evil, and you make it a nafs which Allah loves and calls out to it with a lot of happiness on it at the time of death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who have nafsul mutmainna. So this is in regards to the nafs. So we've spoken about a body and we said nothing special about your body. Now we've spoken about your nafs, you've seen that it can be a big problem for you. Is mankind something so special the way we make ourselves out to be? The third thing, my beloved fathers, brothers, my mothers and sisters at home, is the soul. The soul. And I remember my teacher once telling me, and he gave me a perfect example. He says that the ruh, or the soul, is the electricity of your body and my body. It is the electricity of insan. Just like this microphone here. It's doing what it's supposed to do, to amplify my voice. If we remove the electricity, this will still be here, the receiver unit will still be in my pocket, but there'll be no amplification of anybody's voice, isn't it? Why? Electricity has been removed. Your car, for example, remove the battery, the steering wheel will be there, the petrol will still be in the tank, the oil will still be in the carburetor or in the sump, but the car won't start. Your body is the same way, respected elders and brothers. In case you didn't realize, when Allah removes the soul from your body, may Allah protect us all. Your eyes are still with you, your ears are still with you, your heart is still in there, the blood is still in there, the feet, everything is intact, but it's useless. It's not moving. Why? Because Allah has removed the ruh, the electricity.